see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you trying to take our jobs? Are you trying to do a podcast?
Rob? No. It's all good. You guys will report it. We'll get the people on. It'll be fine. We can all work together.
It's a beautiful ecosystem.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
In an alternate reality, you know, in a 2020 not derailed by the COVID-19 pandemic, Claire Crawley might already be engaged, and we would be just gearing up to tear into her cast's delicious bios and rate their awkward limo exits.
Oh, to be in that world right now. But instead, Claire is presumably single and waiting patiently to mingle, and we at Here to Make Friends are gearing up for a much different bachelor summer. No bachelorette, no paradise, no idea what to do with ourselves.
To fill the void, ABC will be airing a journey into the show's archives called The Bachelor, The Greatest Seasons, M-Dash, Ever, which premieres Monday, June 8th. Each episode will recap at dizzying speed the highs and lows of a single classic season, kicking off with the most successful bachelor ever, Sean Lowe.
We have to admit, when the coronavirus pandemic hit and lockdowns began, we didn't immediately grasp what that even meant for the Bachelor franchise. I mean, you watch, and in some ways, the show actually mimics quarantine. The contestants spend the first few weeks of the show totally isolated from their family, their friends, and the outside world.
But the reality is that, of course, these shows require a lot of close contact. You know, the whole making out with multiple people thing, and group interaction, extensive production staff on location, and travel. So production on Claire's season, which had been set to begin filming in March, obviously had to be put on hold, and we'll all have to wait a little longer for The Bachelorette's first season starring a woman over 35.
Yes, a little bit longer, but maybe not forever. Last week, we actually spoke with the Senior Vice President of Alternative Programming for ABC, Rob Mills, about plans for Claire's season, as well as, you know, what to expect from the upcoming Greatest Hits series and the future of the franchise as a whole. And he told us that, as previously reported by Reality Steve, filming for the season is expected to move forward this summer with extensive safety precautions.
But what will The Bachelorette look like with coronavirus still presumably looming in the background?
Reality television has really been faced with two choices in the time of COVID-19. Lean into the weirdness of quarantine and the drama that living under lockdown brings, like Lifetime recently did with their extremely DIY special, Once Upon a Quarantine. Or alternatively, provide an escape from the madness.
During our interview, Rob told us that he sees the Bachelor franchise as a vehicle for the latter, kind of a way for audiences to forget about the sirens, the masks, and all of the looming uncertainty, even if it's only for 2 or 3 hours on Monday nights.
So without further ado, here is our conversation with Rob Mills. Hope you enjoy.
I think the first thing we want to talk about is we want to get your thoughts on how you felt about the way Listen to Your Heart went. We've just, you know, wrapped up that delightful first season.
It's interesting. Delight first and probably only season. You know, it was really surprising. When we sort of had the notion a year ago, it was like trying to figure out what the show was. And it still was like, I had a hard time explaining to people what it was even after we shot it. But I was like, just watch and you'll see. It's like Bachelor. There's a little bit of like Paradise. There's a little bit of like a music competition series. But as we sort of went into this, you know, pandemic and quarantine and everything, I really thought more people were going to watch only because it was like there's no other new Bachelor content coming for a while. And I was sort of surprised it didn't do, you know, really that well. But certainly the people that watched it seemed to like it. So that made me happy.
We liked it. It gave us something to do in quarantine.
Well, that's what I thought. Exactly. I thought there'd be more people who said, like, hey, it's something to do. And the people that watched it, like, I mean, I will say it debuted to, you know, rating that wasn't great, but it held the audience the entire time. Usually you sort of debut and then it goes down a little bit. And so the people that watched it liked it, but I was surprised. I thought there'd be more people that kicked out would come in. So, but happy we did it. I thought the cast was great and I still think it's worth, you know, keeping up with this cast and maybe some of them will come onto Paradise at some point, who knows. But yeah, I enjoyed it and certainly am proud of the show and think it stands alongside the other offshoots of The Bachelor. So,
yeah, it's definitely a trickier elevator pitch than the core Bachelor shows.
It was always very hard, and that was sort of the problem. You know, even because it was sort of like you look at it and you say, like, oh, should we not do spinoffs? Should we do spinoffs? But like the one we announced where it's sort of like the Bachelor, but with old people, like that one, we got a massive response in people. Cause you can get that easy. Like you said, it's a 5 second pitch. It's just old Bachelor. So, it was a tough one, but I thought for sure, I don't know what else anyone had to do on Monday nights, but clearly something else other than watch Listen to Your Heart.
We definitely had nothing better to do.
I know. Thank you for having nothing to do.
I said, you know, we had other things to do, just nothing better. And
exactly.
Both loved the show.
Oh, thank you guys.
But let's talk about The Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever. Yes. I think that's the final name.
It is. I think we called it something else and then we've landed on greatest seasons ever. I think it's actually like greatest seasons and then ever, you know. Good.
Yes. Yeah. The M dash. Yeah, there's an important M dash in there.
Yes. Yes. That's a very Mike Fleiss, affluation, but he likes to really hyperbolize everything. So there you go.
It's a three part title.
Yes, that's right.
So it was announced less than a month ago. Mm-hmm. It's premiering soon. Such a quick turnaround. Can you talk us through how the show came to be from pitch to production? It must have been last minute.
It was a really random. Honestly, where it all started was, I think Mike Fleiss said something on Twitter about something, or maybe somebody he noticed people were asking for old seasons. It was something about people wanted to revisit stuff in The Bachelor. And then we did sort of workshop it where it was like, okay, is it like a theme week where it's like, okay, all the biggest villains or all the, you know, like right reasons week or not there for the right reasons week. And or do we take a season and run it, you know, over several weeks? And somehow we came to if we have 3 hours, let's try and just boil down one season in 3 hours. And that was fine. That was the permutation that felt right, so that you don't have to live with, you know, a season over 2 or 3 weeks. This way you can get in, you can get out. It's all the stuff that you remember. And then we'll also be catching up with people too, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, that was going to be our next question. Like, are we going to get some new footage? Is it going to be like you video chat with someone from their home in quarantine?
There will be some video. Yes, you'll hear from some people in quarantine, people who are part of the seasons. There are some people that we have not heard from since those seasons. So that's very exciting. And it's just fun to see what these people are doing. I mean, the first week is Sean Lowe. And, you know, he's going to rewatch this with his wife, who's, you know, which is going to be at the very least interesting, and hopefully fun for them. But it'll be good, you know, to catch up with Sean and Catherine as well as other people in the season.
Do we get to hear from Tierra?
Let me just say, you're going to have to tune in, but clearly, you know, we're not idiots. We know who you want to hear from. And I will say, rewatching the show, I mean, Tierra, I think, was three separate acts of the show. You forget how great she was. I mean, it's really, really good. That's when I knew this is going to work, when I was watching sort of the cutdowns. And you really, you know, you remember it, but you don't. Like, and watching it again, it's just fantastic, especially boiled down to just the good parts. It's really, really fun.
Yeah, good memories of Tierra right now. And I mean, Sean and Catherine, one of the few couples I feel like that did not suffer significant damage to their relationship from watching the show back together later. So that should be smooth sailing.
Yeah, it did. It seemed to work out. I mean, I think that Sean has said, you know, be gentle, everyone. Like, this is, you know, I'm watching my wife, when he was talking to us about, you know, cutting it down. But no, I think that, you know, they're super strong. Yeah, they watched that season air, and they've had a pretty smooth path. So I think they'll be okay. I think there are some other ones who are a little bit nervous about watching their seasons back. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Who else? What other seasons are we going to get?
The first three we announced were Sean, Caitlin, and Ben Higgins.
Classic. And
then, of course, we're going to do Juan Pablo at some point, because you have to, there, you know, anyone who didn't know, first of all, because A, it was a great season, and B, you know, just in case you didn't know Claire or forgot about Claire, need to be reminded how great she's going to be as Bachelorette, this will be your refresher course.
I'm so excited for that. Mm-hmm. That season was one of my personal favorites. Like, I think you guys need to cast more bachelors who most of the women end up despising personally. Well, it's fantastic.
I don't disagree. Not that, that was not the intention, but I will say, you know, it's funny. Part of the reason Juan Pablo aired the year after Sean, and Sean was sort of like the perfect bachelor. Like, he was a guy that was just everything you wanted the Bachelor to be. He was there for all the right reasons. He was sincere. He was just a good guy. And he ended up finding his wife. And now that, you know, they've got kids together, it's all great. So after that, we really needed to take a left turn. And it was more that we didn't know. He was on Desiree's season for like 5 minutes, but he was great in those 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really know that much about him. It wasn't that, and he was, look, we sat down with Juan Pablo. He was, and I believe he went in actually very sincerely. He was a single dad. He was looking for someone, but yeah, something went awry. And to your point, yeah, I think most of the women, if not all, were not fans by the end of the season. And it was a great follow-up to Sean's season.
Right. It ended up being incredibly entertaining. So a happy accident. Right.
It was a total happy accident. So I'm excited for that. And then the other thing I should say too, we also are going to be following up with people just from that are just, if there's news in Bachelor Nation, we'll do video chats with those people as well. So it's not going to be just about these old seasons, but just anything that's going on. You know, if we had had the Jake and Vienna breakup happening then, we would have done that interview for this. So, anything, this will also be late breaking news from Bachelor Nation as well.
Are you trying to take our jobs? Are you trying to do a podcast?
Rob? No. It's all good. You guys will report it. We'll get the people on. It'll be fine. We can all work together.
It's a beautiful ecosystem.
Anything that you want to see on the show, let us know and we'll get it done. That's right.
Yes, we're our long game to become producers of The Bachelor finally bearing fruit.
That's right. You're one step closer.
So should we be expecting something sort of like a celebrity watch party type format where we're getting the scenes like interspersed with commentary and like screen and screen?
No, I think it'll be more, hopefully, you know, you don't want to take you out of the, you know, the journey of the seasons. And I do think, even though we've all been there, at least, you know, for me, rewatching it, it's been really fun to revisit. So I don't think you want to sort of unsuture you too much from that. But I think that, you know, what you'll see is you'll just have more kind of video interviews with people who are part of it. And also Chris will be there to sort of serve as a bridge, because you are talking about boiling 22 hours down to 3 hours.
Yeah. Chris is really earning his keep as of late.
He is. That's yes. He knows he has an important job to do as sort of the godfather of Bachelor Nation. So he's always there for us.
He needs to usher us all through this COVID.
That's exactly right. And he's happy to do that.
What a guy.
Yeah.
So how has the production process been going? Our editors, like, working on it remotely at home?
Everyone's been working remotely, and it's amazing how much you can actually get done and do that and still be safe. And it's actually been a pretty smooth process. I think just the hardest part has been just the working and reworking of this, because, you know, at first it felt sort of disjointed. How do you tell this story? That part's been hard, but everyone's been able to do it remotely and do it from home. And that's been totally seamless, actually. It was actually what we had to do on Listen to Your Heart as well. We had just sort of started. I think maybe we had locked the first episode. And then once everyone was sort of ushered into quarantine, we had to figure out how to do it. So everyone's now used to it. And it's like a well-oiled machine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see various industries kind of adapt to this
new reality. It is. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So we are really, really excited for Claire Crawley season, and are very happy to know that you guys are still planning to move forward with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
What are the plans there?
Well, I think that ideally what we're going to do is have everyone, you know, tested, both cast, crew, and everyone will be sort of tested. And once everyone is negative, you know, we'll all be sort of quarantined in a place for a couple of days. When everyone's negative, we will know we're okay to proceed, and we would just shoot from the location we're at, and it'll be a little bit different. We'll obviously do it in a place that's kind of big and sprawling and able to have a series of different types of dates, but there wouldn't be travel. You'd be there, but it'll still feel like Bachelorette. And I think the most important thing is just making sure we have the right 25 or 30 guys. And then I think it'll be a great season. I mean, she is fantastic. She's totally ready to go. And she's so ready and sincere about this that I think she doesn't care where we did it. She's just happy to get the chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could provide a really interesting sort of shakeup, honestly.
Is there
a time frame for this?
Yeah, well, I think we'd like to have it on. I think we'd like to shoot this summer to have it on for the fall. I think we'd want to have it ready for the fall, because I think, you know, we want to get it back sooner rather than later. And then hopefully, you know, if we return to some sort of normalcy, we'd like to keep Bachelor on that time frame, so that could premiere in January.
Wow. So, I mean, it's already May. So have you guys sort of begun putting pieces into place?
And I have to give the producers credit. I mean, they've been working round the clock just to put things in place to make sure this is safe. I mean, you have to remember, between Warner Brothers, who produces the show, and then, you know, ABC, which is Disney. I mean, these are two huge entities, so they're not going to let anything happen unless they know it's 100% safe and you're not putting anyone at risk. So they are really working 24/7 to just be able to show these, you know, the producers, the production companies, that this can actually be done and it can be done safely. So this is something we've been thinking about since this all started. Once you sort of knew, you know, at first it was like, okay, we're stopping down for 2 weeks. And then it was like, okay, we're going to be stopped down a little bit, but maybe we'll just do travel by road trip or things. And then once you started to realize, okay, we're really just going to do it at one location, then it was just full steam ahead on that and just figure out how to get it done as soon as possible, because everybody, you know, Everyone wants to get back to work. You know, everyone wants to get this done for Claire and, you know, just for all the viewers, all the Bachelor Nation. You want them to have the show back soon because I think everyone needs it.
Yes. And if you're at one location, what does that mean for conventions like, you know, the hometown dates or like meeting the family? Will anyone else be allowed in or out? Or
I think we'd have to look at that. Either we'd have to, you know, figure out a way to bring the families to the location and then get them tested and mm-hmm. quarantined while we wait for those results. But hopefully we'll have some sort of variation of that. And we'd want it to look as close to the real show as possible. I mean, I think that what we've done, I think what we did with American Idol was fantastic, finding a way to keep that show going. But I think that people, the viewers still want things that look closer to what they want. I don't think everyone wants to be reminded that we're all in the middle of a pandemic and in quarantine. So you want that escape and over the top feeling. So I think no matter what, hopefully we'll have it, but those are definitely issues we're going to have to think about.
Yeah. And Claire's really just in the same position so many single people are right now, which is I can't really date again until this is mm-hmm. figured out.
That's right. Yeah, so exactly.
Tough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's waited a long time for this opportunity, starting with Juan Pablo.
It is amazing. You know, she's waited so long. She's always, you know, been there. She's been part of the show for so long. And then it finally happens and then a pandemic.
Awful. So
but
unfair.
But it does make me think no matter what, we're going to find it. It's probably going to be one of these guys that we cast after we had to, you know, postpone the show. Like, I do think we're going to find that guy for her forever guy. And, you know, it'll be all worth it.
That's, we were wondering about the casting process because obviously we saw that you guys have continued casting, even though there was, you know, a crop of men announced as potential cast members. How has both, you know, the fact that you're able to keep casting and the fact that there's been a lot of public conversation about the people that were announced, like how has that changed the process of casting now?
You know, it was, the thing about Bachelorette is it's on such a timetable. We start filming 5 days after The Bachelor ends.
Right.
So we sort of, a lot of times you just have the guys that have applied. And they're always, look, they're great guys, but most of those guys that applied for somebody who would just come from Peter's season. And so Claire was a kind of last minute, like, announcement. And I think had we known it was going to be Claire earlier, we probably would have announced her like in January, right when Peter's season started, to try and get people. But we didn't, and we were ready, and Claire was ready too. I mean, she's really only dated younger men, believe it or not. So it wasn't a problem. And we had some people who were probably right for Claire, who you'd cast for Claire, but it was great. That was the one thing the stop down did, was it allowed us to reopen casting. And just now Claire's been announced, so the people who are on will know it's for her. And I think, like I said, hopefully that helps us have a better shot at finding our match.
Are we going to see a few more guys in their late 30s into early
40s? Yes, you'll definitely see. Yeah, you'll see some people closer to her age, absolutely.
Yeah, another thing that Emma mentioned is that, like, because this list was announced and then there was this long delay before Claire even met them in person, there's been public conversation between them. She appeared to be subtweeting one of the cast members at one point. I mean, do you guys look at this as possible fuel for narratives on the show, or would you rather minimize off-screen elements creeping on? Would you rather, like, not have guys on the show that have been part of that kind of thing?
No, I mean, I think that it's, you know, it's one of those things, you don't want to encourage it necessarily, but you also don't want to just pretend it doesn't exist either. So, you know, I'm sure that this stuff will absolutely be used as it'll be acknowledged in some way. But I don't think it's, I think you just have to realize that we have had a stop down. Claire was supposed to start a few months ago. There are people who were going to be on that season that knew it was her, and she now knew who her guys are going to be because they were announced. So you just had to let it play out, but don't pretend like it doesn't exist. I think that's when the show has really sort of evolved and become more relevant, is when it does realize that it does exist in the real world too. And it's not just this fantasy and this other stuff doesn't happen. So I'm sure this stuff will be acknowledged in show.
Glad to hear that. I agree. Personally, I like when there's just some acknowledgement of the fact that Bachelor universe lives on outside of just filming.
And it's messy. It's not all perfect.
Nope. What about spin-off concepts? Like, is there anything that we might see to kind of dovetail more with the restrictions of living in a pandemic? Is the goal to just go back to shooting something like Paradise, you know, in the format that it existed before? Or are you guys kind of looking at this coronavirus stop as like an opportunity to rethink some of the spin-offs?
You know, we've talked about everything, and we talked about, do we just shoot Paradise first? Because that's, you know, in some ways easier to shoot because that is all in one location. And then how do we do things? And then this just what we're trying to do with Bachelorette has proven to be so daunting that we're really now just taking it one step at a time. I think if it's the one thing we've learned about this pandemic is, you know, every time you think you know the answers, they change the questions. So that part has made it so we're like, okay, let's get Bachelorette done. Then let's make sure we get Bachelor done. And then let's see what the state of the world is. You know, either things are going to get much, much better, or if this is status quo and this is the new normal for, you know, the foreseeable future, then absolutely we will. What I think we don't want to do is not be able to do Paradise, because that's another, you know, these shows mean so much to everybody. So I think we want to have all of these, we want to have them all continue. And I think that the more time that goes by, the more we're figuring out how to do it, but hopefully things go back to normal and we can do things the way we used to do them sooner rather than later.
So are you looking at continuing Paradise this year, or is that more for like next year?
I think, you know, again, because this is so difficult, I think we probably would see Bachelor in the fall, Bachelor when you normally see it, and then most likely we'd be back on schedule. So then you'd have Bachelorette next early summer, and then Bachelor in Paradise. Gotcha. Which is a long hiatus from Paradise, but it does give us several years to restock the pond. Like, there'll be so many people that we can have on there. I guarantee it will be the best season of Paradise ever.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I mean, I'm sure that the ladies from Pete's season are upset that their Instagram following.
Can you believe it? I know. There were so many women that were going to be amazing on that season, but it'll be great. They won't be the new ladies at that point too. So it'll be fascinating. Exactly.
I think everyone will have dynamics. A little more perspective. I think it actually could be a really fun mix. You throw in like Rudy from Listen to Your Heart.
But... yes, exactly. I love it.
We're going to take a quick break, but afterwards, we talked to Rob about the responsibility that ABC and Warner Brothers have over the Bachelor Nation narratives that take place off screen. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way,
Therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something, without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply. And now back to the show. Yeah. And in the meantime, I mean, Bachelor Nation is very online during this lockdown.
Yes.
And it almost seems like maybe because there's nothing else going on, people are paying even more attention to the ins and outs of Bachelor Nation. We had Tyler and Hannah B's quarantine crew Instagrams. Yeah. How do you guys approach that? Like, is it a blessing for the network that people are still so engaged, or does it feel a little like out of control?
No, I think it's great. Like I said, it exists in the real world, and certainly it does show that it's not, the show is not made up or not real, and these aren't real people, or they're playing a part. I mean, they're real people with real feelings, and I think it's great that this still continues on. And like I said, these will just be storylines that will feed into the show. I mean, look at how Paradise, you know, Blake and Stagecoach and everything played into Bachelor in Paradise. So I think this stuff is great. I think it's great that people care. And we'll find more ways to address it and show. And you'll definitely see if there are storylines to address in Greatest Seasons Ever, we'll address them there too.
And obviously, you know, along with like the fun quarantine content, when you do have these offshoot stars that then invite a lot of people watching them and and calling them out when they, you know, screw up. Obviously, there was a recent unfortunate incident where Hannah B said the N-word on Instagram Live, which begun this like pretty major discussion amongst Bachelor stars, including Rachel Lindsay and Nick Vile. How do you kind of think about that from a network perspective, given that these people are tied to the franchise, but of course, you know, these things aren't happening on a set. Like,
right.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can control it. And you know, 95% of the scandals that happen are more sort of fun scandals, you know, Peter and his mom and things like that, where it's sort of things that we're all relatable to. You know, something like this is certainly not fun for anyone, but I did think the stuff that Rachel had to say was fantastic, and if that was a teachable moment for people just outside the franchise who saw it, I think that that's all you can hope for, really.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel did take on kind of a big role in addressing it, and and it seems like she often feels compelled to do that, perhaps because of her sort of unique position in the franchise.
Yeah.
But she is also like a co-host of like the official Bachelor podcast. So does that put you guys in a space of, you know,
having conversations with her about how these things play out, or how, what kind of support she can expect from ABC?
I think she'll have unequivocal support. I think we're really lucky to just to have Rachel as part of Bachelor Nation. I mean, and she does, you know, it is, she's sort of unique there. I think that we are certainly trying to do better in terms of casting. And I think that the show has made a major change, but I still think there's even more. And, you know, when Rachel says, I turn around and see all the leads and, you know, I'm the only one that looks like me, that's, you know, that says something. And I think it's great that it happened, but there should be more. Rachel shouldn't be the only person that feels they need to speak on it. But that being said, I think we're incredibly lucky to have her.
Yeah, she really is just fantastic and ends up doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So bless her.
She does. And she does it in a way, though, that, like I said, I think that, you know, I think she's going to be very impactful on a lot of people. And I think that's great, because I think she's also just an awesome person and just fun and funny. I think that's why her season was so great.
Absolutely. Are we perhaps going to get a Rachel season flashback during Greatest Seasons Ever?
You never know. I think it, you know, it really depends how many weeks we go. It's been kind of fluid, but certainly there was a lot to remember in Rachel's season. So, and we haven't heard from, you know, Peter Krause in a while. So that would be fun to catch up with him.
Yeah. Remember that guy. Oh my God.
Yep. There's already been a whole other Peter since Peter, but we still want to know. Exactly. We still want to know.
I know.
More.
That's right.
I want to zoom out a little bit, and just because you have such a unique perspective, like, do you expect that ABC and maybe other networks are going to have to lean more heavily on reality and alternative programming over the coming year, given all the crazy production delays across the board?
Yeah, I think so. I think that as hard as it has been for us to figure out how to do things, it's probably twice as hard on the scripted front. You know, I think that they've been very nimble, and I think they've had virtual writers' rooms and stuff. So I think writing is going on. Things will be going. But when you get into actual physical production, I think just in terms of, you know, how you shoot a sex scene or a fight scene, or if you have a big crowd gathering, I think those things are going to be hurdles. And they're working on them every day, and they'll figure it out. And I think it depends on if things take a turn for the better or for the worse as we start to see things kind of reopen. But I think as it was sort of like with Bachelorette, where it was, we're going to push 2 weeks, and then it was 2 weeks. With scripted, it was like, okay, you know, we're going to push the production of pilots, and then it was like, okay, we're not going to do pilots, we're going to do full series orders. So I think that everyone still doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do think scripted is going to be a little bit trickier to come back. So we are definitely, you know, trying to be as ready as we can to provide, you know, unscripted programming if we need more than we already do.
Yeah, it feels like it's just going to be a really weird next year all around.
Yes, it's going to be a very weird year. That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, we are so excited to dig into the Greatest Seasons Ever. Is that the Greatest Seasons Ever.
Greatest Seasons Ever. Thank you. Yes, exactly. That's right.
And it sounds like if it goes well, we might get more and more from the archives.
Yes. I mean, I just, at a certain point, we'll run out. We only have so many. And there's, for whatever reason, some of them, like Emily Maynard's season, there's a weird rights issue or something, so we couldn't get that one. But we'll see if we can untangle that by the time we get to week 20 or whatever it is. But
that was a great season.
It was a great season. I know.
I mean, Rob, we did a little mini live tour last year, and we recapped Alex Michelle's season. And those clips are just unreal. Incredible.
Yes. Oh my God. It's amazing. Just watching, just Chris, the fact that Chris Harrison was this through line, and you see him, you know, he starts with these suits that were like five sizes too big for men's warehouse.
Oh my God, the suits! Like, what
and then
was
he gets,
that
I know.
In 2002? I know. It's very upsetting.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I know.
Yeah, the suits, the mock necks. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
So we're excited to see more of the evolution of The Bachelor that brought us to the present day.
It's going to be really fun. No, absolutely.
Yeah. And we'll have to have you back on to check in things sort of change very quickly.
Yes, absolutely. I will. I can talk to you guys from wherever we're quarantined shooting Bachelorette this summer.
Yes. Oh, that would be so fun.
Robbie, that'd be fun.
So appreciate you taking the time. And this was really
thank
fun.
You both for everything you do. I love, all that you guys do. I loved when you guys did your, when you took it on the road. So thanks for all the support. You guys are amazing.
Oh, thank you. That's
we'll
great
talk to
hear.
You soon.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Talk soon. Take care.
Bye. Have a good
Stay
one.
Safe. Bye.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Rob Mills, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And of course, you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emilady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back next week to recap The Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever. First up, Sean Lowe. Plus, more bonus episodes that you will not want to miss.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.